Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, Queen Creek Man Honored for Actions During House Fire. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent January 5th, 2026, and written by Janet Perez. A Queen Creek man has been honored for helping his neighbors rescue their pets from a burning home. The Queen Creek Town Council recently gave Brian Webster the Queen Creek Citizen Award. Webster was recognized for helping his neighbors rescue two cats and three dogs as flames engulfed their home. The Queen Creek Fire and Medical Department responded to a house fire near Rittenhouse and Village Loop South Roads about 8:45 p.m. December 5th. The fire was upgraded to a first alarm, and crews from the Mesa and Gilbert Fire Departments assisted in putting out the blaze. Before firefighters came, Webster began to help. Quote, that Friday night, Brian was watching basketball when he heard a commotion. He went outside, jumped into action, helping his neighbor run into the burning house not once, not twice, but three times, and together they successfully got two cats and three dogs out of the home, end quote, said Queen Creek Mayor Julia Wheatley during the December 17th Town Council meeting. There were no reported injuries in the fire, but the house was deemed a total loss. The fire is still under investigation. While the family is dealing with devastating effects and aftermath, they are so thankful to be able to have the comfort of their family pets, Wheatley said. The mayor also read a statement from Webster that said, quote, you don't really think it's what you should do. You try to help people. I have five pets of my own, and I would want someone to save my pets, end quote. This is only the second time the town has given out the Queen Creek Citizen Award. The first was in 2023 when then 7-year-old Cole Silva saved his 3-year-old sister after she fell into a swimming pool. This is an exceptional honor, and we are so proud of the heroic efforts. Being an incredible Queen Creek neighbor, Wheatley said, Brian Webster is a hero in our house as well. He has been a coach for all four of my children for many, many years, and he's a hero to many elementary school kids all across Queen Creek and beyond. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled, Phoenix Nonprofit Aims to Get Foster Kids Through College. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune January 2, 2026, and written by Samantha Ray. Foster youth in Arizona face steep odds getting into college and even steeper odds when it comes to finishing. A local nonprofit is trying to change that. For many young adults who have aged out of the foster system, college comes without the family safety net most students rely on. This means many foster teens face higher barriers not only to enter college, but to complete it. Arizona Friends of Foster Children Foundation lends a helping hand supporting students through graduation. Among foster students, between 29% and 64% enroll in post-secondary education, but only 8% to 12% complete a 2 or 4-year degree, according to a 2025 study led by Nathaniel Ofich of the University of Connecticut and published by the American Education Research Association. By comparison, in 2023, 48.9% of all Arizona residents aged 25 to 64 had completed a 2 or 4-year degree or had an active professional certificate or license, according to the Arizona Education Progress Meter by Education Forward in Arizona. Luis de la Cruz, CEO of Arizona Friends of Foster Children Foundation, emphasized that while foster youth college graduation rates are still low, they have grown. That 8 to 12% that we tend to see in graduation rates, it's up from 3%, de la Cruz said. And so what it tells you is that a lot of these solutions are actually working. We just need to double down on them, and we've got to keep pushing them. De La Cruz, a former foster youth himself, was connected to Arizona Friends of Foster Children Foundation through his adoptive parents and earned 2 undergraduate business degrees from Arizona State University. Now he leads the foundation, helping other foster youth access scholarships and resources to complete college. As a former foster youth, De La Cruz knows well the barriers to post-secondary attainment. The initial challenge, he reckons, is, quote, the ability to dare to dream, end quote. Oftentimes, being in foster care means that there's a series of things that has happened in your life that perhaps means you don't know what you can dare to dream to finish high school and go on and become a doctor, a lawyer, in my case, a CEO, or a strategist for big companies, De La Cruz said. And so the ability to dare to dream, I think, is limited sometimes because of those experiences that lead us to foster care. The Arizona Friends of Foster Children Foundation offers 2 scholarship programs to help students get their foot in the door, its General Post-Secondary Scholarship and the Barbara Polk Healthcare Scholarship. The Arizona Friends of Foster Children Foundation Scholarship is available to current and former foster youth ages 17 to 24 who are enrolled in a university, college, or community college and maintain at least a 2.0 grade point average. Awards range from $2,000 to $5,000 per year depending on the institution. For students who want to join the healthcare field, the Barbara Polk Healthcare Scholarship supports foster youth pursuing undergraduate or graduate healthcare degrees with a higher GPA requirement and multi-semester funding designed for students in demanding clinical programs. The foundation scholarships are available to students who are currently or were previously in foster care and reached or will reach age 18 as a ward of the state of Arizona. However, the challenges don't just disappear or become smaller once a current or foster youth gets their foot in the door, De La Cruz emphasized. For students who have aged out of the foster care system and lack a traditional support network, even a single setback can quickly unravel their path through college. A car breakdown, for example, can set off a cascading problem. Without reliable transportation, a student may struggle to get to class. To cover repair costs, they may pick up extra shifts at work, leaving less time for coursework while also spending more money on alternative transportation. What begins as a mechanical issue can quickly turn into missed classes, financial strain, and a growing risk of falling behind or dropping out completely. Housing can create similar challenges, De La Cruz notes. If you end up living on campus, what happens when the semester ends? What happens when parents are lining up to pick up their kids because the dorms are going to close? Who picks them up? The truth is that the answer is often nobody, De La Cruz said. In such cases, without a family home to return to, students can face housing instability that compounds other challenges, making it even harder to stay enrolled and succeed academically. These barriers that exist in their lives, having no traditional support system, tends to mean that if something goes wrong, it goes very wrong, and they deprioritize their education, De La Cruz said. The Arizona Friends of Foster Children Foundation understands that getting into college is one thing, but finishing is another. Thus, the nonprofit offers financial assistance for those unexpected obstacles like a car repair or housing insecurity. The Focus Forward Fund is available to help students with those not-so-small problems so they can move forward with their education journeys. Students from 16 to 27 years old who are currently or were previously in foster care through Focus Forward may request financial assistance for items in 4 categories: educational, emergency, empowerment, and vocational studies. Under the educational category, students may request assistance with items such as laptops, textbooks, and on-campus housing deposits. Through the emergency category, the foundation provides financial assistance for matters outside of the educational institution to make sure students keep their focus on school. Students can request assistance for things such as auto repairs, rent and utilities, and internet service. Under the empowerment category, students can request financial assistance for exam preparation courses for medical school, law school, and other graduate programs, college and university membership organization fees such as Greek life and study abroad costs. Lastly, under the vocational studies or certificate programs categories, students can request assistance with vocational tuition and fees or vocational program supplies, such as welding supplies for a welding program. De La Cruz praised current initiatives that support foster youth in their post-secondary journeys, such as Arizona State University's Bridging Success Program and state legislation that requires public universities and community colleges to provide a tuition waiver scholarship to eligible current and former foster youth. Still, he noted that many students faced obstacles in these programs, including those that the foundation cannot fully address alone. We can't just give scholarships to kids so that they can get to college, De La Cruz said. It's about, can we get them to graduate? And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be focused on deploying the solutions and the support to get them to graduate, because that's the name of the game. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing a good job. End of story. Our next article is entitled Sensory-Friendly Farm Camp Planned. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune January 5, 2026. No author is listed. The, T-H-E-E, Lazy Acre Animal Assisted Services, a Gilbert nonprofit known for its miniature therapy horses, is launching its first Gallop and Grow Equine Explore Day Camp, a sensory-friendly outdoor experience. According to a release, it is designed, quote, to help children ages 5 to 10 learn, connect, and thrive through engaging activities with gentle horses, end quote. The inaugural camp takes place 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. January 10th at the Lazy Acres Hobby Farm in Gilbert, near Loop 202 in Greenfield. The nonprofit does not disclose its specific address until it is contacted by interested parties. We have seen firsthand how horses transform people's emotional world, said co-founder Beth Hunting. This camp is a joyful way to introduce children to animal care and build confidence while creating happy memories in a positive and supportive environment. At the Gallop and Grow Equine Explore Day Camp, children will experience activities such as grooming and leading miniature horses, as well as farm-style crafts, outdoor games, and a fun obstacle course. There's also a special sensory station designed with neurodivergent children in mind. Campers should be fully mobile and potty trained. This program is an extension of our mission, Hunting said. Kids deserve opportunities to grow socially and emotionally. Our horses are incredible partners in that. The Lazy Acre is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to bringing joy, peace, and comfort to individuals who need it most, including elders in care facilities, hospitalized children, individuals with disabilities, and those who are bedridden or facing medical challenges. Through therapeutic visits with their miniature horses, the organization describes its mission as, quote, helping people feel seen, valued, and emotionally supported, end quote. Registration is now open and families can pay using ESA funds, Zelle, PayPal, or check. Space is limited to 12 children. A pizza lunch, water, and a colorful equine explorer activity book highlighting the farm's horses and learning topics are included in the $100 registration cost. Residents who wish to donate, volunteer, 18 and older, or sponsor future camps can email thelazyacre@gmail.com, and that's spelled T-H-E-E-L-A-Z-Y-A-C-R-E @gmail.com to register thelazyacre.org. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next story is entitled, Chandler Wraps Up First Year of Parking Lot Upgrades. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, December 31st, 2025, and updated January 3rd, 2026, and written by Ken Sane. For years, the city of Chandler's parking lots were neglected. As the city grew over the years, the parking lots were an afterthought, said Don Lang, Chandler's deputy city manager and chief financial officer. They were built with the building when it was brand new, and then life went on. We never implemented a parking lot program in Chandler. That changed last year. The city moved its parking lots under the care of the Public Works and Utilities Department instead of each department taking care of its own. Public Works is wrapping up its first year of the parking lot program and gave an update to the City Council at a December 15th work session. There is now a plan and program in place to maintain the city's 107 parking lots. It starts by immediately taking care of the newest parking lots, said Warren Kahn, who oversees the parking lot maintenance program for the city. We did take a look at anything with newer pavement and wanted to make sure that our priority was get the maintenance started before anything else, even before reconstruction of our worst lots, he said. The reason is that with regular maintenance, the parking lots will last a long time and will not need to be reconstructed as often. Kahn said that the enemy of parking lots is water. When it seeps down to the underlying foundation, it can start to crumble. And once the foundation goes, there's not much else to be done but to reconstruct it. The new program has the city fill any cracks in the pavement with the seal after 3 years, then apply a new seal coat application every 5 years. In the first year, seal coats were applied to the 11 parking lots with another two currently in progress. More intensive mill and inlay work was completed at 7 parking lots with 2 more currently underway. Mill and inlay requires removing the existing asphalt before replacing it with new asphalt. Seal or slurry coats are more preventable treatments that protect existing pavement and improve appearance. If the underlying foundation is bad, it would require a complete rebuild. The new maintenance program is costing the city $2.5 million per year. End of story. Our next article is entitled Nation's Largest Pharmacy Investment in Mesa. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, December 31, 2025. No author is listed. Strive Pharmacy recently announced a new 350,000-square-foot headquarters and advanced compounding facility in Southeast Mesa, creating one of the largest pharmacy infrastructure investments of its kind in the nation. The new campus deepens the compounding pharmacy's roots in Arizona, expands production capabilities, and accelerates job creation as the company surpasses 700,000 square feet of national operations, according to a news release. Strive was founded in 2018 in Gilbert. One of my goals is to bring more jobs to Mesa District 6, not empty warehouses, said Vice Mayor Scott Summers, who represents the area. This project represents a $7 million investment in our community and brings 500 jobs. The facility will serve as the company's operational home base, supporting national fulfillment, accelerating production capacity, and creating a significant new job opportunities across the Southeast Valley region, according to Strive. Quote, this new headquarters is an investment in Arizona, in our team, and in the future of patient-focused medicine, end quote, said Nate Hill, CEO and co-founder of Strive Pharmacy, in the release. Quote, Arizona is where Strive started, and this project allows us to build the infrastructure, technology, and talent necessary to meet growing demand while staying true to our mission never to settle, especially when people's health is at stake, end quote. The building will give Strive a unique advantage, meeting the needs of existing and growing demand for personalized care while also being built from the ground up to enable operational agility to pivot, adjust, and adapt with patient needs, industry advancements, or potential drug shortages, according to the company. The new campus will have dedicated spaces for state-of-the-art compounding, fulfillment automation, training facilities, and expanded administrative operations. When we invest in our facilities, we're investing directly in patients and providers, said Mike Walker, Strive president and co-founder. This headquarters will anchor the systems, quality controls, and service levels that define Strive. It's a home built for the next decade of innovation. The company reportedly is leasing a 223,442-square-foot building at the Hub at 202 and will expand to the full 350,000 square feet. The Hub at 202 is a master-planned 1.5 million-square-foot industrial park and is one of the last contiguous parcels of scale located in the center of the Southeast Valley, according to Connect CRE, which provides real estate news and marketing analysis. The lease comes on the heels of major expansion milestones for Strive. Within the next 12 months, the company will operate over 700,000 square feet of advanced pharmaceutical facilities nationwide, including a newly acquired 275,000 square foot cGMP manufacturing site in Alachua, Florida, and a recently expanded Tampa location designed to enhance patient experience and fulfillment speed across the Southeast. Quality isn't a step in our process, it is the process, said Matthew Montes de Oca, Strive Chief Compliance Clinical Officer. From rigorous weekly potency testing to independent sterility validation, every safeguard we build into this facility has one purpose: ensuring patients receive medicine that is precisely made, thoroughly verified, and genuinely personal to their needs. Together, these investments position Strive as the largest and most advanced compounding pharmacy network in the United States, supporting unprecedented production scale and elevated quality standards, the company said. At Strive, we're not simply growing, we're evolving, Walker said. Every square foot we build is designed to improve access, elevate quality, and deliver care with transparency and compassion. Some of Strive's products include those for hormone therapy drugs, anti-aging, autoimmune, and weight loss. Other Strive locations include California, Utah, Texas, Missouri, Florida, and Virginia. End of story. Our next article is entitled $11.5 million Grant Aimed at Arizona's Literacy Crisis. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, January 5, 2024. Six, and written by Samantha Ray. As Arizona grapples with an ongoing literacy crisis, a new initiative aims to address it. Pathways to Evidence-Based Literacy, a statewide project led by the Arizona Educational Foundation, AEF, is launching with $11.5 million in federal funding to expand evidence-based writing instruction in elementary schools. The Arizona Educational Foundation, along with partners SRSD Online and the American Institutes for Research, received the grant from the U.S. Department of Education through its Education, Innovation, and Research Expansion Initiative. The funding will support expanded use of self-regulated strategy development, SRSD, a writing instruction model backed by decades of research. The project aims to help teachers successfully integrate evidence-based literacy practices into real-world classroom schedules and curricula, something officials say has been a long-standing challenge in Arizona. A lot of that is just how does it fit into the classroom culture or into the system, said April Camping, research director at SRSD Online. We know a lot about the system-level issues now, so that's what we're trying to address, Camping continued. There have to be resources, there have to be point people, and there has to be a way that this fits in so teachers have time. AI is ever evolving, so we provide AI training to teachers and principals just about every few months because things are so rapidly evolving. There are a ton of tools through AI that teachers can use to supplement reading and writing instruction as well as improve on efficiencies. The Pathways Project will be evaluated by the American Institutes for Research, comparing outcomes in participating schools with those in control group receiving standard literacy instruction. We're going to measure some teacher outcomes, Camping said. We're going to look at social validity. Do teachers find this valuable? Do they find it effective? But we're also going to make sure it transfers to students, so we're going to look at literacy outcomes like writing quality, and we'll probably look at reading comprehension. Camping said for this pilot, they are aiming for 5 schools and about 10 instructional coaches and their teachers. Those coaches and teachers will return feedback on the course and it will expand from there. We'd really like Arizona to be a model for how to integrate evidence-based practices, Camping said. We have research, we know what works, but it's that research to practice gap that we're trying to address. So we'd really like to lay out a template for that, pilot it here in Arizona and get it working, and then expand beyond. Graham added, our hope is that we will see visible, impactful change in student writing achievement scores and also see a corollary impact on reading as well. Planning to reach over 75 schools over 5 years, the Pathways program will provide instructional coaches and teachers with professional development training and self-regulated strategy development. SRSD is an intervention designed to improve students' academic skills through a 6-step process. That process teaches specific academic strategies and self-regulation skills. It starts with teacher instruction and guidance and gradually moves toward a student's applying the strategy on their own. For example, they would start planning and organizing ideas before writing an essay. The 6 steps guide students from initial instruction to independent use. Teachers provide background knowledge, discuss and model the strategy, support student practice and memorization, and finally observe students as they apply it on their own. Students also learn self-regulation skills such as goal setting and self-monitoring so they can apply strategies effectively without direct teacher support. Such skills can have long-term impact, as Camping noted. They can be applied to all academics as well as career planning and social life. That's kind of the key difference maker and why it works so well as strategies instruction approach, Camping said. Kids learn how to give themselves instructions, how to give themselves reinforcement, how to monitor their progress, and how to self-evaluate. Developed in the 1980s by Dr. Karen Harris, self-regulated strategy development has over 40 years of research supporting its effectiveness. The first study, published in 1985, tested the model by teaching students with learning disabilities how to use effective vocabulary in writing. Since then, SRSD has been the subject of more than 200 research studies. Instructional coaches are seasoned educators who work alongside teachers to improve teaching practices and student outcomes. They provide guidance, support, and training, helping teachers use strategies, technology, and data effectively to improve lessons and build professional skills. The project team also will use the grant to develop an artificial intelligence-powered course to help teachers. The goal there is to have AI as kind of a thought partner, Camping said, so we'd like to be able to upload schedules, upload key curricular units, things like that, and have AI support in ways that make SRSD fit into those schedules alongside content. The Arizona Educational Foundation is a founding member of the Arizona AI Alliance, a collective of education organizations committed to the responsible, ethical, and effective implementation of artificial intelligence in Arizona's K-12 schools. Arizona Educational Foundation CEO Kim Graham said the foundation was one of the first organizations in the state to provide AI training for teachers and principals. End of story. Thanks for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next.